So just to remind you of the text, Isaiah writes, "I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness." In the wilderness. The word wilderness occurs 278 times in the Bible. It's rather striking when you start going through the Old and New Testament and looking at the large number of ways that that word, that single word, is used throughout the Old and New Testaments. So you have John the Baptist here in the New Testament, but you have a great deal of mention of the wilderness in the Old Testament. We'll talk about more of that. We'll talk about that more later. But I think it's odd to me that John the Baptist goes to the wilderness instead of to the city. I'd want to go to the city. The city's where the people are. Why didn't John go to the city? 79% of people in the U.S. live in the city. And nationwide and developed, worldwide in developed countries, it runs about 80%. So, not so much in underdeveloped countries, but 80% of us live in cities. There's a kind of sense, don't you think, to city dwelling? It's got more people, more money, more influence. You don't have to be alone. There's always a party going on. More services, fire protection, libraries, coffee shops. But cities tend to distract us, don't they? I find lots of reasons to be distracted in the city. When we lived in Texas, Jonathan, our son, and I, did a trip together, a camping trip to the Boundary Waters canoe area. I have to say that I experienced the profoundest sense of loneliness in the Boundary Waters canoe area. Not related to Jonathan. I mean, we were having a good time, but just my own personal experience with the wilderness was this profound loneliness. It was like nothing that I'd ever experienced in the city. I was enjoying Jonathan, but there was something larger going on for me. No city lights, no sounds at night except the occasional loon or the imaginary bear bounding through the woods headed for your tent. And certainly no people. Sometime hours or days, we were only there, it was a four-day trip, but even whole days would pass and we wouldn't see a soul. So aside from my company with my son and my enjoyment of him, I was left with my thoughts and my occasional fears. Did we take the right fork at that turn? Where is that path? Where's that portage that we're supposed to be taking? Everything depended on us, our finding the right route, because our outfitter was going to be picking us up deep in the BWCA, and we had to get to where he was going to be. BWCA is a place to which you can go. So we bought maps and we drove cars and flew airplanes and we got to the BWCA. We intended to go there, but there are some forms of wilderness in other places that are not places to which you can go. There can be loneliness in companionship. If you if you have a relationship with somebody that you're alienated from, where there's no communication or there's disagreement, that's loneliness. That's wilderness. Or there can be a sort of a wilderness experience with people, with the absence of virtue. Dee was telling me about an experience that she had with somebody who lives near her. And in some respects, it was a wilderness experience because of the way the other person was acting. Or you can be in a wilderness when it comes to forgiveness. Somebody won't forgive you. Somebody won't cut you any slack or show you any grace. You can be in a wilderness when you don't know which way to go. When you debate in your mind, what should I do? What decision should I make? Or you can be in a wilderness when you feel empty. Have you ever felt so spiritually dry you felt like you were in a wilderness? It's wilderness. Or when you're lonely. Not the kind of loneliness that I felt in the BWCA because there were no people around. But I'm talking about profound loneliness. When you feel like there's no one else in the world that cares about you. That's wilderness. From the biblical perspective, wilderness evokes an intimate and personally challenging climate or ethos or place of being. It's a place where nothing can stand between you and God, or maybe everything stands between you and God. That can be wilderness. And ironically, or maybe not so ironically, wilderness, for all the negatives of it, for all the possibilities for loneliness or alienation or dryness or whatever, is very often the place where God does his best work. And I honestly think, as we'll see as we plow into this, that that's why God chose wilderness experiences to do magnificent things in terms of revealing his will to his people or transforming lives. So wilderness in the Bible has multiple meanings. And I want to talk first about some of the negative meanings of wilderness by asking you, when was the last time you felt you were in a negative wilderness? And if you stop and think about it, you'll know what that time was. And we've talked about some of the causes of the feelings of being in wilderness. No matter how much endurance you had or how much effort you had expended in trying to deal with your situation, you still felt like you were wandering around in the wilderness. It could have been an intolerable job situation. Ever had one of those where you hated going to work and you just felt like you didn't click with anybody in the office or the business, or your boss was one of those impossible bosses to work with. It may have been a relationship going bad, or financial woes that wouldn't go away, and you just wonder when the end's going to come. When Bev and I, in the early years of our marriage, and you know, you're kind of starting your life out and all that sort of thing, we had some times when we go, when is this going to end? When are we going to have adequate salary to meet our needs for our family? Or it may have been spiritual darkness that you thought wouldn't go away. Like you were losing a fight with yourself over the better use of money or time or resources or whatever it was. And what you say at those times is, I feel so dry. I feel so lost. I feel so confused. I don't know what to do. The Bible has multiple references to wilderness as a negative place to be. And so Moses in Deuteronomy, when he's talking to the children of Israel, describes Israel's wanderings for those 40 years as the great and terrible wilderness. the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. So to modernize this description, I'd like for you to think of cancer or violence or death or unkind people or being fired or losing your house. When was the last time you turned on the news and you heard a family being interviewed who just lost their house to a fire? On Sonora, when you come down Cordova, if you look to the left, you'll see a house. The garage is all black, and nobody's living in that house right now because there was a fire. I imagine that they had some moments when it felt like wilderness to them. What are we going to do? Wilderness is also a place where we rebel against God, where we say, like Israel did, have you taken us out to die in the wilderness? What are you doing, God? Or, we want to go back to Egypt. We don't like it out here. It's hard. So we rebel against God. And wilderness is where we depend more on our ability to control our lives. We don't really control it. It's a lie we tell ourselves. But we want to control it. In the wilderness, we murmur, we complain, we gripe, we grouse. The wilderness is a place where evil spirits abide too. I don't think it's without significance that in the Gospels, the wilderness is where Jesus went when he was tempted by Satan. 40 days in the wilderness. And it was a place where he had no defenses, and there was no people around him to say, come on, Jesus, let's get out of here. Or let's have a nice meal. There was none of that. It was him and Satan. It's a place where Israel released the scapegoat. Every year, Israel would get a goat, and they would tie a red ribbon around it. And that red cord or red ribbon stood for the sins of the nation. And they would take the goat and slap it on the rear end, and it would trot out into the wilderness. And it was symbolic of sending away their sins as a nation into the wilderness. The wilderness is where the graveyard was, where the demon-possessed man lived, that called himself Legion. So it's interesting, isn't it? When you do this little trip through the Bible and you realize that, yes, there are some times when wilderness is an awful place to be. Any place would be better than the wilderness. But wilderness is also positive. I think John the Baptist may have chosen wilderness to preach because that's where people would listen. It's where people were hungry and curious and thirsty, and they went out there because they wanted to hear what John had to say. There was no boombox in the background, you know. There was no barrel drum players on the corner in the wilderness to distract. No neon. It was just John and just the people. Jesus also did great miracles in the wilderness, the feeding of the 5,000. Where else would you be confronted with your hunger but in the wilderness? There's no 7-Eleven out there. There's no place that the apostles can go to find food. And everything becomes keener and sharper and brighter in the wilderness, because you're so acutely aware of your lacks, L-A-C-K-S. Jesus fled crowds to go to the wilderness to pray. And Moses finally told Pharaoh that he wanted to take Israel out into the wilderness to worship. Away from the pyramids, away from the gods of Egypt, away out into the wilderness to be alone with God. Mark quotes from Isaiah 40 when he says that the voice calling to the people actually came from the wilderness. Seems logical because wilderness in the New Testament particularly is noted as a place where spiritual things happen, where temptation is overcome and prayer is offered and meditation and all of that occurs in the wilderness. It's in the wilderness that we learn what our true motives and interests are. I can tell you that when you go into the Boundary Waters canoe area or the high country of Yosemite, you're not distracted. It's an amazing thing to, and you forget, but it was an amazing thing on this last trip when I had to get up in the middle of the night and I looked up and it was all stars. There's something pure about that, that you don't get in the city. It's also the place where all our defenses are stripped away. What do I have to depend on, to brag about in the wilderness? Nothing. Salvation comes from the wilderness. Moses, Elijah, David all had to flee there in order to be protected. And Jesus also used the wilderness. Very often you find him there. In referring to people and their receptivity to the gospel, I sometimes liken it to a swinging door. So here's a person's life, and the door of their life is swinging open and shut, depending on the time of life that they're in, depending on whether they're in the wilderness or not. And I find over and over again that the time the door swings open is when people don't feel self-sufficient, when they do feel vulnerable, when they do feel lost, alone, confused. That's when the door comes open. And I think that's why God uses the wilderness so often. So to conclude, I want to cause you to think about paying attention to the wilderness and maybe even to use that term to help think about the things that are going on in your life. Why? Because it's used so many times in the Bible. Why? Because of the extraordinary things that happen in the wilderness. Extraordinary. Repentance, exorcisms, worship, deliverance, all those things happen in the wilderness, not in the city. Isn't that amazing? It happens in the wilderness. I like the way that the wilderness eliminates distractions from our lives. No cell phone to go off in the wilderness. You can't get cell service in the wilderness. You can't. It's the wilderness. Something pure about life at that level. And the way that the wilderness gets our attention and causes us to cry for help, that's when we ask for help. When we're so utterly broken that we realize we've got to have help. That's wilderness. What is the wilderness for you? Have I said something this morning that resonated with you that maybe got you to thinking about the role that wilderness plays in your life? Do you dread it? Do you welcome it? I think it depends on the nature of the wilderness experience, don't you? Sometimes we we go, yeah, I really need this. This is good. Other times we're going, oh, I don't like this. But I think the moral of the story in terms of the Bible's talking about wilderness is that there's always something to be learned in the wilderness. Always. Good or bad, there's something to be learned. Let's pray. Dear Father, though we often dread the wilderness because of the ways that we suffer there, we also thank you for it because of the way that it captures our attention and refocuses our lives. We ask you to join us in the wilderness, to provide your wisdom and refreshment and change us to be more like you. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.